Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Before we start, Milwaukee!
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Look at the gods! The gods! The generation! Yeah, it's a sin! The gods! The beast! The fraud! They're messing with me! Come on! Come on! Come on! Let's get it out!
Awesome!
Drink it in, man!
You just made the list!
And you can't teach that! Top guys out!
Glorious!
We're here.
Seat, chair, cold steel. Surprisingly more versatile than just a seat. Put them all together, and you get one hard-hitting hell of a night.
Look at the size of that chair, Ben. That's like getting hit with a billboard. Look at the chair. Look at the shape of that chair.
John Cena's face just smacked that steel chair at the hands of Randy Orton. There's a chair across two chairs, and he powerbombed him through the chair.
Curb stomp out of the chair.
Ow! Dang, the freak accident on top of a couple of chairs. Aleister Black just drove the chair into the face of Adam Cole.
McAvoy manipulating the chair, and the reverse exploder onto the chair.
The chair is up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Deed. Welcome back to Chair Shot Radio. My name is PC Tunney. And I am joined, as always, for many a years now, by the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It is him. It doth be DPP.
It's old school up in this biatch. You're inebriator in the era of awesome, PC Tunney. What's up,
That's
brother?
What I'm talking about. Yeah, well, you know, we got the inebriator and the commissioner of the United States.
Of the Americas.
There you go. Anywho, Chris Platt is on assignment, and if you're missing him now, go back and listen to Pod Is War. Excellent show this week.
You had a quinceañera? Talked
a little bit about. Yeah, Andrew had a quinceañera, apparently. So
fantastic.
You know, you'll hear. It's not a long story, but it's worth tuning in for. I would say, you know, and as usual, you can find all of that.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
See, you'll still get to hear Chris Platt. There will be no Sin Bodhi this week, though. Sin Bodhi will be on the show next week. Conflicting schedules. Really busy at the Chair Shot. Sin Bodhi really busy. But Lucha Libre in Las Vegas this Sunday, 800 East Karen Avenue, right there in Las Vegas, Nevada. Apparently, there will be beer served. Doors open at 1:30. The show's at 2. Juventud Guerrera will be there. Funny Bone, Sin Bodhi, Ricky Mandel, and many. And y mucho, mucho más. So that's this Sunday right there in Las Vegas. For more on that, just check out Sin Bodhi's Twitter, and you'll see even more for that. So Lucha Libre Las Vegas. We'll hear all about that next week when Sin Bodhi is on with us here at Chair Shot Radio. DPP, it looks like you're wearing it underneath your hoodie there, but tell everybody where they can go to get a Chair Shot t-shirt.
Well, this is new territory for me. This is usually Chris Platt's deal, so I'm going to try my best. I know I don't have the sultry tones that Christopher Platt has, but you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and get your, what does he say, cool as a referee's whistle, Pro Wrestling
yeah,
Tees,
something.
Chair Shot Tees, join the movement, brothers and sisters,
join the movement,
get yourself a t-shirt, we've got all sorts of different kinds there, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, get a t-shirt.
All right, folks, while we're on the topic, let's pause for the cause, and we'll come back and get Chair Shot Radio started.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com?
Yeah, we did it twice. Deal with it, folks.
Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Well, it's good to hear his voice a little bit, but that's enough now, I think.
For now. The day's not over yet.
No, shout out to Mr. Platt. He is out on assignment taking care of business. So let's get on with the show and inform everybody what we will be talking about this week on Chair Shot Radio.
Well, it's the big show!
Shoot.
Oh, wow.
Two-tone.
Dropped it down a little. Yeah, well done. Well done.
That's my range right there.
The old two-stepper. Little inside joke there. We're gonna talk a little bit about Extreme Rules and about how somebody pretty much had the whole card picked out, and then we're gonna run down Raw, SmackDown. We're gonna cover some NXT this week, DP. What? Not a lot, but one keynote. Yeah, and we got a new Ciampa. Hey. Anyway, and for last call, Stephanie McMahon apparently has another groundbreaking announcement, DPP, and I will at the very least sound foolish trying to figure out what it is. DPP, go ahead and ring the bell. Yeah, I threw away two predictions and went 9-2, so that's what I was talking about.
Way to go.
Thanks. Yeah, I played that, folks. Deal with it.
So, you know, where's the Barry Horowitz here? Play some Barry Horowitz. Gonna pat yourself on the back here?
I would love to. I meant to move and I threw the two away. I kicked some ass, finally. The rest of the year I've sucked. All right, bring it down. I had to do it. It's a long time since I had some. But, boy, I tell you, you know, what really happened at the pay-per-view, honestly? I mean, Nakamura won the title and Randy's Orton interference and everything else kind of, except for the B-team. I want to talk about the B-team. My first legit pop since Zack Ryder wins the IC title at Mania the other year.
That was awesome. I think we all picked the B team to win that thing too, and I'm glad they followed through with it, because that's more exciting having them win the titles than it would be keeping it on the Deleters of Worlds. That was well deserved. That was fun.
Are we moving more towards Bray and Matt breaking up, or them getting the titles back, and this is just kind of a way to have a rivalry between Bray and Bone?
I'm really hoping that they break them up. I haven't been the biggest fan of them two being together after all the stuff they did, and then, you know, Bray Wyatt getting thrown in the pond of, what is it? The reincarnation? Lake of reincarnation?
Yeah. Sure. He almost got mowed, too.
Yeah, he almost got a nice shave by the mower of lawns. And, you know, then he came back and he was the same exact person. And, you know, I was really hoping this was a chance for him to change his character a bit, since it was terrible. And putting them together for a little while was okay, but it's not clicking for me. I think it'd be better off I'd like to see Bray and Bo, the brothers tag team, be together. That'd be kind of fun. But, you know, with the little thing at the end of that match where Matt Hardy got pushed into Bray, and that card kind of could start some controversy, I guess, if they wanted to go that route. What do you think? Do you think they're going to keep them together? You think this is the end?
I hope they break them up, because I'd love to see the B team be Bray's team. And then you can just start the new Varsity Club right there. Like, you know, Legacy, the new Legacy. I mean, you bring in whoever else you want on top of that. Those three guys are all, what, third generation? I mean, come on. Yeah. Let's capitalize on that in a weird way of characters. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people you could add to that in a different kind of level Like, they don't even have to be the same type of, you know, you could throw in whoever you want that's going to be out there. Orton, you know, what, the Usos, right? I mean, Usos. The Rock comes back and he, big pop for The Rock, and Rock all of a sudden he's in this storyline where he's pulled between this group of guys that have a legacy in the business and don't, or something like that. I'm just looking forward with, you know, getting guys to come back that haven't been around for a while and put them in a meaningful storyline. Family, that's meaningful.
That's something we've talked about for a while with, you know, Roman Reigns and that whole, the whole Samoan family and getting the Usos and Roman together. And, you know, you could have The Rock come in and do some stuff there. And, you know, having that, like you said, that family together, you know, even Nia Jax you could put in there and have that kind of faction mentality. And I was thinking about that with that whole legacy thing would be pretty awesome. And if they, you know, built it, you could build it up almost like a Bullet Club where there's a big group because it's all different family members or legacy people, generations that could come in. What happens if Cody Rhodes comes back and is the ringleader of this whole thing at some point?
And that's the other thing too. You can have feuds within the faction because you can have arguments over whose family is better, or your uncle screwed over my dad, or something like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. We could put Goldust in there too. I mean, he's still around, and get him in there and get him in something meaningful too before he retires.
Just a great idea to explore something that I think could be like a new NWO, you know, but you got to let it play out and you got to give it meaning. Anywho, we had Carmella, Alexa Bliss, and AJ Styles all hang on to their titles. We also had the Bludgeon Brothers hang on to their titles. We'll get to Shinsuke Nakamura, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton when we go over SmackDown, but DP, let's talk a little bit about Finn Balor defeating Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin seemed like he was kind of catching some footing, you could say. Like he was getting some traction a little bit with this new character. And a lot of people thought that he was going to go over in this match. But it turns out it was just a good way to show that Finn Balor still has it. And he's still a contender, even though that he's not going to be a contender. We'll find out soon enough down the road here, right here on Chairshot Radio.
Yeah, it's really interesting what they're doing, these two, I in my opinion, because, like you said, I was one that picked Corbin to win this thing because he is catching that traction, his character's changing a bit, and I thought it was a really good spot for him to win it, but they kind of, in a way, protected him, I guess, by having him dominate a lot of that match, and then, you know, and then get rolled up, basically, and get pinned kind of out of nowhere, and, you know, a surprise finish, so it's still keeps Corbin strong by doing that, but yeah, it still gives the win to Balor to show he can, you know, he can pull out a win in any shape or form. But it's I you know, really curious how they're going to go forward with these two guys, because again, you got to start giving Corbin some wins to make him that kind of strong character. And Finn Balor is always one that can be in contention for the Universal title, so you know, he, but as like you said, you know, we're going to find out here on Raw that he doesn't, you know, we have those matches determine who's going to wrestle at SummerSlam, and Balor doesn't come out on top on any of those. So, you know, I don't know where they're going to go with Balor here or Corbin. You know, if you have any thoughts on those two and where you think they're going to end up here going into SummerSlam, are they going to keep this feud going through one more pay-per-view, or are they going to kind of break them off into something else?
It's hard to say how long they want to keep these two how long they want to keep their rivalry together?
Literally?
I can tell you what's coming. I can tell you what segment's coming up after we're done talking about this. Anywho, I don't know how long they want to keep these two feuding, but I know that it's always good to keep Finn Balor looking good, because at any time you could use him not only as a main event contender to headline a pay-per-view against anyone, but also to, if not carry the belt, transition the belt. Hold it for a month or 2 months or 3 months and still have credibility, because he's so over and he works so well in the ring and he talks so... He's so connected on the mic. And you can't really teach that at all.
And the fans, like you said, the fans love him. He's like a Daniel Bryan type of character. Maybe not as over, but it's, like you said, it's a guy you can put in the main event match anytime you want, and you're going to get a fantastic match out of him, win or lose. And, you know, you can always, by keeping him in, at this level, you can always plug him in there if you need to.
Folks, before we give our last thoughts here on Extreme Rules, DPP, let's explain to everybody why we're going old school DWI style. We've been drinking. It's time for what you drinking.
Drink it in, man.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk.
Is that what you're going to blame the slurred word on? Is the drinking?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? I would.
What are we drinking this week, TPP?
Well, I'm calling it a clean out the fridge weekend. So I'm looking in the fridge and finding what's still in there that's cold and...
Is that a Henry's Hard Orange?
It is a Henry's Hard Orange that I'm going to start with.
There you go.
I saw a couple of Ziegenbachs in there. I'm going to have those, I think. And we'll see where the night takes
me. What did you call the weekend? What did you say the weekend was called?
Empty the Fridge.
A.K.A. Gut Rot Weekend.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, brother.
Well, speaking of drinking a beer, I have... from one of your favorite brewing company that makes one of your favorite beers, Louise Demise, Milwaukee Brewing Company.
Oh, nice.
MKA. Their IPA, which is quite delicious. Yeah, so I'm enjoying that. Drinking local. It's like farm to table, you know. I'm not sure how potent it is because it doesn't say, but I guess surprise. That's at least a 6. So, yeah. Cheers, you're in Milwaukee.
You don't need to know how much alcohol content is in there. Just drink it, motherfuckers.
That's right. So to everybody over at thechairshot.com, shout out to our MVP himself, Christopher Platt, who's out on assignment right now, take care of business. And officially, one of our other associates in alcohol. There's only 4. Yara Miriagamister. So,
I love that nickname.
DPP, cheers, and ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're drinking. DPP, give me your thoughts on Extreme Rules as a whole, how you felt watching the pay-per-view, and kind of the results that were given to you.
I felt tired. That was the first thing I thought of, was I felt tired. 4 hours is too long. I know we talked about it to death, but I was tired by the end. Most of these matches, like you said, kind of went chalk for the most part. We kind of expected a lot of these. And I think for me, the Nakamura match was, I mean, the 5 seconds it lasted was, I thought was pretty awesome. Because I, you know, I don't think we saw that coming. Yeah, that's what she said.
I'll tell you, chair shot locker room, I was, and you know how I, I love that. I fell asleep last night watching Netflix and watching The Office. I watched an entire episode, and then I got halfway through the second one, and I just, my arm hurt, and I just pulled my phone, like, I'm going to sleep. And, you know, great show, but... What were you talking about?
I fought less than 5 seconds.
You know I always love matches that are really quick like that.
Yeah,
you got Daniel Bryan, Sheamus at WrestleMania. Just the surprise of that happening that quickly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you know, I like that once in a while, like, because it should happen. I mean, if you catch a guy with your move, you should be able to beat him. So, I mean, you know, just the way they did that, and bam, the low blow without the ref seeing, and then bell rings, bam, it's over. I thought was brilliant and a good way to kind of protect everything, and having Randy Orton come out as a surprise was nice. I enjoyed but didn't enjoy the Iron Man match because I do like a handful of falls, but I thought the way they did it, I didn't like how they did that whole thing. When Ziggler got 3 falls within a minute was genius, I thought, because that's what should have happened when Seth got his ass beat. He should have taken a couple pinfalls. So seeing 9 falls in 30 minutes, you know, you must have been happy about that. I know you like a lot of pinfalls there. So there was a couple good spots, but I think overall it was just, it's too long, and a lot of the matches were really predictable. So, you know, middle, maybe a B-, C-plus-ish area for me as far as the rating goes.
I'll give the match I'll give the pay-per-view a solid A-, because I stayed awake for the entire pre-show and regular show. Now, granted, I took a 3-hour nap and woke up about 15 minutes before the pre-show, so that helped. I think that might be my new routine here. Ring the bell for that.
That's what you need to do.
But I enjoyed New Day and Sanity on the pre-show. I believe there was another match on the pre-show. I can't remember what it was now, having watched so much wrestling since Extreme Rules already. And then for me, it was just, I had predicted every match right except for New Day, Sanity, and AJ and Rusev. And I'm not bringing it back up again to brag about it, but for me, it was just like, okay, I got that one right. I got that one right. And I just, maybe that's what kept me going on it. And I was so disappointed when AJ and Rusev wasn't last, because I knew that that was going to be the case. But I thought they did a great job with that final match. Like, how are they going to let Dolph keep this? And I knew that would have to be the case, because as you can see, they already put Seth in a match for number one contendership, which he didn't come away with, which we'll talk about shortly. But he needs to move up and away from that. I didn't really like what they did with Dolph and Bobby Roode. We probably won't get to that on Raw, but the match at Extreme Rules was great. I thought it was the best pay-per-view that flowed the best all year so far, in my opinion. I enjoyed all the matches. I enjoyed the endings. I thought they had good finishes to the matches, at least, for the majority of the night. So that's kind of where I was at. Little bit difference of opinion, but at the very least, we can both say we stayed awake for the entire show.
We did. There was one other thing, though, that I would be, I have to mention, is how about KO taking that dive? KO off the top of the cage, thrown onto the
table? Right, we did not.
That's right, wow.
We did not. Well, Braun did a great job of throwing him in the right direction, I'll tell you that. You could see the airbag go off, and I don't know. That was an interesting match. I thought that they did a good job of not giving it too much time, as much time as these guys have had. They made it short and sweet and made a big point with it. That's kind of what I liked.
Yeah, I like they kind of continue this Braun just kind of beating the shit out of KO, and he can't get away from him, and you know, he's taking some big bumps and really, really selling himself for this. So, you know, I'm hoping he gets paid off at some point, because that was, we haven't seen a bump like that from anybody other than Shane in a long time. And that was quite amazing for somebody like KO to do, I think. So kudos to both of them for doing that shit and, you know, being willing to take that kind of bump was amazing.
At the very least, we'll agree, Extreme Rules, solid pay-per-view, if not better.
I was in the middle.
Yeah, you agree. Okay, great. Good for you. Yep. All right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, good job.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Let's get into Raw and SmackDown so that we can start discussing storylines and moving towards SummerSlam. Raw would feature two triple threat matches in which the winners would have... What are you laughing at now?
We'll talk about when we get to SmackDown.
Jeezy crazy. I hate when you call me Jeezy crazy.
Don't use my name in vain, I told you.
Hey, shout out to Eddie Izzard. Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre. Yeah, ring the bell for Eddie Izzard for sure. If you guys like stand-up comedy and you've never seen Eddie Izzard before, give him a chance, watch an entire show. Specifically, start with Dress to Kill and then kind of go from there. Yeah, just great comedy. Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. That would be one of those matches. Elias versus Seth versus Bobby. That was mean. Anyway, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
I apologize. Why are you going to laugh Steven? After I apologize? Yeah. Cable guy.
I was blow drying my hair. I thought you might have called. So
never you know,
call
you.
Me back.
Call me. We'll talk. That about never it. You.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Don't you hunt somebody? All right. Anyway, we gotta keep moving on. I thought the first triple threat was excellent.
That was a great way to kick off Raw. I thought they had a nice promo there with Kurt Angle and the whole Brock Lesnar thing, and then going right into that triple threat match.
Was it though? Now here, hey, look at this. No one else is around, and we're finally disagreeing on shit. Look at that. Was it a great intro, though? Like, I knew all they were all coming out. I mean, I guess it was entertaining. I did watch it, you know, even though I had the ability at the time, starting like 2.5 hours later than the start time, watching it to fast forward. But I did watch it, but very predictable. I don't know. Is there any other way to get six guys out there than doing it that way? I guess that's a good question.
No, there's not. I mean, it's classic. It's, hey, we're going for the, you know, we're going to have a match for the title. Now everybody that wants to, you know, get all the contenders out there and plead their case, basically. And I thought it was great. I liked it. I really liked the way they brought him out and then immediately went into a match. That's kind of, I guess that's the part I liked more, is that they said, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're doing it right now, as opposed to just...
Because basically that was the first hour.
Yeah, was them talking, and then boom, went to that triple threat match that took a long time. It was a really good match. I agree, that was the better of the two, I think, for sure.
Do you think that Roman bleeding had anything to do with that?
No, I almost didn't even notice it. So, I don't. Yeah, I mean, that accidental or whatever, however he got that, was...
So that was just a nice little icing on the cake, because that kind of showed what he went through to me at the end of the match. I really, like, obviously not planned, especially anymore, especially on TV. But to see that, you know, he took a good pop and finished it off.
Yeah, it's always good to see something like that once in a while, to know, like, yeah, they're fighting for the biggest prize on Raw, let's say, because it's the fucking Universal title, but... you know, so yeah, it's good to see that they're making this seem more important to, like, hey, Brock Lesnar's actually going to be here. I got to do whatever I can do to get into that match.
What about Drew McIntyre?
What about him?
Is this just the beginning for him? Is this just a taste to let him see what he can do in kind of a semi-main event kind of way to work with the top guys, or is this just where he's at right now, good enough to just hang in there on these things and he's not going to get any farther?
I think it was a taste. I think it was a taste to see what he can do in this kind of situation. I assume that at some point, you know, not too far down the road, he's going to get one of those odd pay-per-view title matches, just because he's good enough to do that before he really gets up to that level. And I think this was more of a get him and Seth in a match, because I think that's where we're going for SummerSlam, is Seth versus Drew McIntyre, since he's got to kind of finish that story where he was wrestling Dolph, and then Drew kind of screwed him out of the IC title, so it's going to be them two together. And this way, they were in that match. I don't think anybody thought Drew McIntyre was going to win this one, but it's a good way to have Roman have a great match, and then have these two guys pair off afterwards for a match at SummerSlam.
So they brought up Seth. The other match was Elias, Seth, and Bobby Lashley. I had no doubt in my mind Bobby Lashley was winning this match, just because of where I think this storyline is going at SummerSlam. I thought it was an adequate triple threat match. What were your thoughts on the actual match?
Yeah, pretty much adequate. It wasn't, you know, definitely wasn't as good as the first one, I think. Just, I don't know if it's just because the way Raw started off and having that as your opening match is really getting you off to a hot start. And then after the 3 hours, you're kind of worn out. But I think kind of the same way, though. Maybe it was just because we pretty much knew Bobby Lashley was going to win this thing. And it just didn't leave you, you know, ready to see those near falls and thinking somebody else was going to win this match. I think you couldn't buy into the false finishes as well with this, knowing Lashley was pretty much going to go over at that point. And after 3 hours of watching wrestling, probably kind of tired. I mean, I pretty much knew Roman Reigns was going to win the first one too, but being at the opening match, we were a little more into it.
Is there any chance that there's a clean finish for Bobby Lashley next week in this number one contender match? Isn't it next week? It's next week on Raw, right?
It is next week, and I think you need to rephrase that into your new popular game show, because this is perfect for that.
Oh. Yeah, you're calling for it now, huh?
I'm calling for it.
Oh, man.
This is my new favorite game. It's
another edition of Your Opinion, man. DPP, in your opinion, man, is there any chance there's a clean finish next week on Raw between Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley?
Oh, let me tell you something, PC brother. I don't think so, dude.
Well, neither do I. And that's another edition of Your Opinion, man.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like Your Opinion, man.
Excellent.
There you go. Another edition of Your Opinion, man. Yeah, I've said it all along. I think we're heading towards that triple threat at SummerSlam. I definitely think it would be perfect because Bobby Lashley would beat Roman Reigns again. Brock Lesnar would go off untainted into the UFC. The belt would stay. But DPP, there's a lot of people out there saying Vince would really love to see Brock Lesnar have the WWE belt around his waist going in to fight for the UFC title and then winning the UFC title and defending it with that WWE title around his waist as well, or something like that. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about Brock leaving with the title?
That's really tough. I get that. But what, you know, what if he loses? I mean, if he loses the Cormier,
this is why I'm predicting what I'm predicting. What if he loses? That you don't want that. You don't take that risk.
Exactly. I just not with UFC. It's too hard to do. I mean, it looks like, you know, he obviously looks like the bigger, badder guy going into that match. But you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't have him lose it and be sitting there with the universal title and seeing a UFC guy, you know, defeat your champion. I just can't see him doing it. I can't.
Before we slide on over to the SmackDown side, Alexa Bliss, Ronda Rousey, we got the whole thing going on. Rousey shows up at Raw. Angle has to talk her down. But apparently, if she can stay away, she's going to get the title shot at SummerSlam versus Alexa Bliss.
Should be really good. I guess it's time for Ronda Rousey finally to get this get the title already, huh? It's about time. Is it about time?
That's what I'm hearing. Now she's gonna get it. She's gonna get it at SummerSlam. But why not have her get it at, you know, that kind of gives SummerSlam a boost, doesn't it? Like, hey, we believe that SummerSlam is the second best, even though a lot of hardcore fans love Royal Rumble more. Here's an important moment in SummerSlam history. Ronda Rousey's first title win.
Oh, I don't doubt that that'd be a great spot. I just, knowing the history of, I don't know, Vince McMahon liking to, you know, screw their first chances over with something like, you know,
she gets
Asuka
screwed over and wins it on Raw the next night.
You know, look at what they did to Asuka, undefeated streak, and then she loses to for nothing, you know, and loses to Camilla
twice.
That
was more
about
Charlotte. Oh, yeah. Valley, yeah.
But it's just like, whoa, okay, what's going on? And they, you know, they like to do that more than everything else. You know, Daniel Bryan wins this, you know, the world title the one time and gets cashed in by Randy Orton 2 seconds later and loses, and there goes the moment. And the killing moment seems to be a big thing now as opposed to enjoying a moment. So I don't know. I'd like to see her win it. I know she's only been around for, you know, a couple months, really, since WrestleMania, so... You know, they could tell a longer story with her trying to get it, but I think we've talked about this, they're leading towards Rousey and Charlotte at WrestleMania for the title. So you got to have one of them get a little bit of a title run here and hold it for a while. So I think this could be a great spot for Rousey to win it and hold it till WrestleMania.
I can get the last word here, and if you agree, just ring the bell. But it's been extremely impressive to see how much Ronda Rousey has progressed in everything, in every way she does, whatever she does on camera, whether it's in the ring or coming down to the ring now or giving an interview. She's really, really good. And she got there really, really fast. DP, I want to move it over to the SmackDown side, and I want to talk a little bit about a house that was built by a certain someone, so maybe we can just kick it off like that.
SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built.
How fucking awesome was it to see AJ Styles versus Andrade Cien Almas? A match that everybody's been wanting to see, you know, over the past however long it's been since Andrade came in. These two guys work amazing together. I'm sitting there going, this could main event any pay-per-view in the world, including WWE pay-per-views. These two guys, my goodness. I liked it. I loved it. I want more of it. But unfortunately, I think that this was just a way to kind of start a different storyline, which we'll get to. Your thoughts on that match, though?
Definitely a great teaser. And Andrade, I wanted to bring up, too, with him versus Sin Cara. If you didn't see that match was an awesome match, too. And this is two in a row for Almas. And, again, this with AJ Styles is just amazing. And them two together, I would not be disappointed to see that main event any pay-per-view for WWE. And this is just showing what Almas can do, and he could easily be put in the title picture immediately. That's what I'm really hoping they brought him up for, because you don't want to waste his talents. He turned it around and was awesome at the end of his NXT run. And now that they're starting to showcase him a little more every week on SmackDown, you're starting to see what he can do. And it's absolutely amazing. And him and AJ Styles just tore it down, and that's going to be just great things for SmackDown if Almas stays on there. You got a lot of good talent there, and he can easily carry that show if he wants to.
I think for me, the linear storyline was Joe taking on Ty Dillinger, and I think a lot of people are saying that's where we could be headed, is AJ and Joe at SummerSlam, and I'm totally down with that. You know, do you throw Almas in there knowing that there could possibly be a triple threat on Raw? They've done this before at big pay-per-views, but how did you feel? How about R-Truth showing up and having that moment at the back with Ty Dillinger? I said, what did he say? He said something. He got his words confused in the back. Oh, man, I can't even remember. He said smile more or something, said, and not fight Samoa Joe or something.
Yeah, said he was on the phone, and then he said he needed to smile more, talking to Ty, I think. And yeah, Truth is just fucking weird.
Shout out to Truth. Good to see him. DP and I did see him back in the year 2000. In the year 2000. At a Raw on Labor Day in Milwaukee. So look it up. Raw was in Milwaukee on Labor Day in the year 2000. We were there. K-Quick was, I think it was a pre-show. It was a pre-show match.
A pre-show. Had to have been.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just a little note. I was good. I popped. I like to see R-Truth. I'm old. Sorry. Well, I'm not sorry.
Old school. No, nostalgia. You like the nostalgia. I love that stuff. I love seeing those guys in the back once in a while on a little, you know, tape segment or something. It's always fun.
So AJ and Joe, that's what we want to see at SummerSlam. Do you think they could do something better than that?
They could always do something. Well, they could do something just as good, I guess. I don't know. I can't really say be better, because AJ and Samoa Joe are great and have a long history, which I'm sure we won't be able to get into except for their Japan time, because we don't talk about TNA and WWE. We talk about all around the world that they've wrestled. So, I'll quote-unquote that, all around the world. That means TNA. And, you know, I think we've been talking about this, not to say that again, we've been talking about all this stuff forever, but, you know, I think we've talked about it. This has been what it's been leading to, is AJ Samoa Joe for quite a while now, and I am quite happy with that. I don't think we need to throw anybody into this just yet. I would love to have Almas in a match, but I you know, doesn't need to be in this one. I think this one, singles, is going to be great. I would love to see Almas get some other kind of match. I mean, him and Jeff Hardy could have a great match. I think somewhere down the line, if he, you know, could be wrestling for the U.S. title, but with Nakamura having it, unless they throw a triple threat, it's not going to be Almas versus Nakamura. But I'm quite content with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. That could easily, it won't main event it, but it could easily be the main event if they wanted it to be the last match. I think those guys work extremely well together. They've wrestled all over the world, quotes, and have been awesome. So I would love to see that match. We haven't seen it yet in WWE. It'd be great.
All right, DPP, it's time to kick it up a notch. Bam. What, the Emeril Lagasse, right? Didn't he say that or something like that? It's time for the you try and say this real fast. It's time for the Doc Brown round. It's time for the Doc Brown round.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Lightning round about to happen right here. We got three more topics on SmackDown. DPP, quick thoughts right now. U.S. title situation. Nakamura, Orton, and Hardy. Do we see that triple threat at SummerSlam? And for crying out loud, Randy Orton, lay off of Hardy's ears. Have you seen my baseball?
Oh, God, that had to have hurt being drug around by that hole. But triple threat, got to happen. And we're going to get
that's
the
what she said.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Well, we'll get to see Randy Orton's true decision if he's going to be heel or babyface after SummerSlam. I see the triple threat happening for sure.
All right, Becky Lynch versus Carmella next week. SmackDown. She wins. Shot at SummerSlam. Do we see Straight Fire versus Money Mella at SummerSlam?
Sure, why not? There's nobody else there. Charlotte's still hurt, right? So yeah, sure.
All right, now we're cooking with gas. Last topic here on the SmackDown 88 miles per hour DeLorean Doc Brown Fest. Here we go. New Day, Sanity. This feud, is it the end of the New Day? Is it the beginning of the end for the New Day?
I don't know about that, dude.
All right, fair enough. There we go. And now there you have it right there. The Doc Brown round, 88 miles an hour of DeLorean love.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
DPP, we got one more topic before last call. We got a new Ciampa. It's Tommaso Ciampa defeating Aleister Black at an NXT taping. I believe this is the second time they've done this, right? Didn't Joe defeat Balor at a taping?
Yep. Yep, Joe defeated Balor at a taping. That was a
and this is going to air...
This will be next week.
I know they like to do the taping. Yeah, they like to do the tapings in order. So if they're going to air them in the same way that they usually tape it, it should be next week. If not, the week after, but we're thinking next week. So, I mean, is this... I don't know. Is this to try and draw attention to NXT in the middle of kind of a nowhere season in wrestling? Or... I guess not. Maybe we're moving towards an NXT show, so that kind of provides a little storyline there. Or is it just a way to get people to tune into the network for an episode of NXT?
You know,
or all of the above, apparently.
Yeah, might be a little of all of the above, just because it's the biggest story that's going on right now is Ciampa and Gargano. They did it well without the title.
It's raining cats and dogs here above the commissioner's nest, just in case you can hear that. Yeah,
I heard it earlier.
Yeah, it's coming down pretty good. Yeah, we've had some serious scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. It's been raining pretty much most of the day. It's light thunder, lightning. Boy, that shit's kind of frightening. Back to you, DPP.
Thunder and lightning. Yeah, I think it's all of them because it's. I wonder if it had anything to do with them not being sold on Aleister Black being the champion and being able to carry it, or it could be they want to bring him up now because I think he's good for the. I think he'd be good on the main roster. He didn't seem to fit in any position.
Where do you send him?
I'd send him to Raw.
Where do you inject and into what storyline? What do you like? What's your plans? You're the Raw guy that wants him up, or you're the NXT guy that thinks he could fit right in here?
And I think right now the first thing that pops into my head is he could fit in with Bray Wyatt. And he could have a good feud with Bray Wyatt, I think. Because it's that same kind of eerie character going against the Eater Worlds character. It's, you know, two ominous kind of characters going at it. I think they could bring out something in each other. However it ends, I don't know. Because putting them together, like we talked about with that group, You know, if they don't do a whole legacy thing, he could fit in pretty well there, I think, too, or with Matt Hardy. But I think him fitting in there, to me, sounds better than anything on SmackDown right now. I think that's the best place for him, in my opinion. And, yeah.
Well, folks. Yeah, go ahead. Finish that thought. Sorry.
Finishing with the thought of moving with NXT is now, yeah, the SummerSlam NXT TakeOver show can feature Gargano versus Ciampa for the NXT title. And if they want to do it, have Gargano finally win the title in the rubber match. This is going to be their third match. They've each won one. Gargano comes out on top, wins the title, going out of SummerSlam.
Don't you think Black's going to get that rematch, though, at SummerSlam?
No.
And then maybe at the next one you'll see that?
Okay. I don't think so.
Why waste it? There you go.
Hated.
Why
waste it?
Yeah. My idea.
Hate it.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
Hate it.
Well, there you go. Before we move on to what we do at the end of the show, the last of the last calls, just want to shout out to Mr. Christopher Platt.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
See you next week, brother. Hope everything's going well. And, I missed that. What? Play it again.
I didn't play anything.
No? No? Oh, it skipped. Boy, I got some weather going on over here, folks. All right. One last time. Chairshot.com, everybody.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You can find us at Chairshot Radio. You can find me at PC Tunny. DPP, where can they find you on the Twitter?
All over the social media, worldwide interwebs, at It's Me, DPP.
And where can they email us if they so do choose to do?
Oh, we'd love to hear from you if you got comments, questions, concerns, kudos, cheers, jeers about the show. Chairshot Radio at thechairshot.com.
There you go, folks. And please, please do. Go, you know, do yourself a favor. Make yourself more aesthetically pleasing. And visit ProWrestlingTees.com/ The Chair Shot. Always use your head. It's $20. It's just $20.
Join all right. The movement.
So there you go. DPP, I think it's time for last call.
A last call. Alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
Oh, what do you mean? What do I mean? It's last call. It's the last thing we're going to talk about. I mean. People don't know that by now. Why does he ask me that question every single time? What do you mean it's less? Like, I will, but I'm going to wait until we're done. Otherwise, why, you want to make everybody sit here in silence while we both get up and go get another drink?
Yeah, brother.
Oh, all right, fine. I'll play something for him then.
We'll just play intermission music or something? Longer
here. Yeah, I can just play something here. I got a whole bunch of clips. I mean, I'm just trying to look through.
I got a nice intermission music.
That's really long. That's what she said.
Yeah.
You got it? Yeah. All right, go ahead. Yeah, let's do that. Go ahead. Go for it. All right, we're going to go get a drink. We'll be right back. Last call.
Yeah, we'll see you in a little bit. Fucking raining. Holy shit.
Yeah. Intermission.
I'm back first. I sat down first.
I don't know about that, dude.
Yeah, no. If we're on Facebook Live, you can vote right now. Bop, bop, bop. Oh, that kind of worked.
That did work.
Even though it was gross. All right, last.
Very disappointed that it's raining, too, because my basement toilet is unusable right now.
Oh, that's too bad.
Outside. I did get another drink.
Oh, no, the signal's going. Oh, God, I have no shows to record on the DVR tonight. I don't even care.
Oh, no.
Just turn the TV off altogether. Did you grab a different drink or you have the same one?
I got vegan back, drink. Brother.
Ava, for last call, let's play What You Drinking one more time.
Drink it in, man.
The short version.
Oh, you might lose me at some point here. I might have to go to the phone.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to try and dial in from the phone here.
I made that last call.
All right, we're still good. I'm still good.
All right.
All right, bring it down. Bring it down. I'm still good.
We're done.
All right, I'm...
What'd you go to? You got a can there this time.
I'm back to the Terrapin High Five IPA. What are you drinking over there?
There you go. I pulled out the old Ziegenbach. The Texas Amber Ale from... it's a Budweiser, but it's fucking good. You can't get it outside Texas.
All right, that's version two of What You Drinking before we get the last call here. I was going to go a little longer, but the weather's getting inclement, and I don't want my Wi-Fi to go out again and ruin the rest of this episode. That's almost over. So there you go, folks. When in doubt, ale. Always leave early.
Nice.
Ring the bell for Steve Zabin. All right, last call, folks. Stephanie McMahon will be back at Raw, and she has another groundbreaking announcement. DPP, your thoughts on what this could mean for the WWE.
What does this mean? What does this mean? You know,
what does this all mean?
The first thing that, you know, pops in is they've been talking about an all-women pay-per-view. So, I mean, that's got to be first on the list. That's probably what it's going to be. I know we got rid of some pay-per-views this year. We know that TLC got moved from October to December. Could the all-women pay-per-view be taking the place of TLC in October, PC? What do you think?
If that's the case, Stewie, then I would really hope that we would be crowning a new and first ever women's tag team champions in the WWE, because that's the only way I'm really going to want to watch an all-women's pay-per-view. No offense to the women. I don't want to watch an all-men's pay-per-view either, to be honest with you. I want the women's matches on there as well. So that's just kind of the way I feel about it. I'm okay with it if that's what we're doing on it. You know how I feel about the titles. I don't want to rehash the whole thing. You know, one world title, one tag title, make your IC and US title, your TV titles on each show. But that's just me. So either way, I'll be watching.
So, like you said, we don't really want to see, or we really, I don't know if we've ever, how long it's been since we actually seen an all men's pay-per-view. I mean, is it this, should we feel the same that if they're going to go all women's pay-per-view, like, why it should be mixed? I mean, why do they get their own full pay-per-view?
Well, I don't, no, I'm not against it. I'm not against it.
I'm not against
it
either.
It's just something I'm not interested in, and I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it either, okay? So I just want to be clear with everybody and where my opinion lies. I would not do an all-women's pay-per-view unless you're awarding a new title, as in the women's title. That way you can have both women's titles defended, world titles defended. You can have the semifinals and finals or quarterfinals. You can do the whole thing if you want, quarterfinals and on, for the brand new women's tag titles, which I would imagine would be across both brands. And then you could have another women's match of two people that are, you know, big names or something like that. That's how you could do that pay-per-view. But I don't really want that. I mean, as much as I would watch it and I'm not against it, I don't want it. Just like the same way, like I said before, I don't want to see all men's matches in a card. I want at least two women's matches on the card. I don't care if they're for the title or not. There's plenty of women that I want to see wrestle. That's where my head's at.
I'm with you on that. I like the fact that there's men's and women's matches on pay-per-views. I don't want to see all men's. I don't want to see all women's either. I think it needs to be a mix, whether it's 50-50 or whatever, 60-40. I don't care about that, but I do like the mix. I like
it's probably closer to 75-25 right now.
That's, yeah. Well, it's better than 90-10 that it was before, and the fact that we're actually getting some fantastic matches is amazing and awesome. So So I love that fact. And I don't know. I assume that's kind of what they're going with. If it's something as simple as just that they're going to announce that there's women's tag teams, you know, titles that they're going to, you know, bring out, that's fine with me too. I think I'd rather have that than an all women's pay-per-view, just because I think there's more, you know, more you can do with that than you do with just an all women's pay-per-view, because, you know, I don't know. It's just a one-off thing. It's just like the Mae Young Classic. They're having the Mae Young Classic. And that's great, and that's an awesome tournament. If you saw it last year, it was amazing, and I think that's, you know, that's where it should be. And I, you know, the all women's pay per view, because then are they going to do it every year? Are they going to have an all women's pay per view every year? I don't know, and I don't know if I'd want to see that every year. I just, you know, I got the Mae Young Classic. I got, you know, you get those kind of tournaments. If they bring back a King of the Ring, that kind of tournament, then you have a men's tournament, you have a women's tournament. I think that's perfect. And if you want to do,
are we gonna do women's King of the Ring?
Yeah, right. That's, there you go. You know, that's what I mean about, you know, the Mae Young Classic was almost the women's King of the Ring. If you, instead of doing it, bring an outside talent in, you have the talent that's there do it, and then you have a men's King of the Ring, a women's King of the Ring. That'd be awesome. I'd be fine with that. If you want to make that a pay per view like they used to have, that would be awesome, and I would watch that for sure.
DPP, we did it again. Another episode. Feels a little bit old school today.
It was. It was kind of weird. It felt I don't know, clammy.
Yeah. CP, we're used to you.
Yeah. Well, he brings the show up a notch, you know, so it's, you know, it's very different. You talked a lot more than you normally do. I'm proud of you.
Well, I had to.
Fill it in for CP.
That's how much I care about you, Chris. I have a lot to say.
I'm very...
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate... Go ahead.
Sorry. So, very disappointed we didn't talk about the Miz's You Googly.
Well, tune in this Tuesday after SmackDown to see Miz and Mrs.
Hey.
The premiere. That's another potential SummerSlam match right there. So. Yeah,
for sure.
Was a lot to get into. A lot of stuff that we're going to uncover even more about next week as we get through another week of Raw and SmackDown. It seems to me like we're going to pick up some steam with Raw and SmackDown now as WWE pumps in, you know, whatever they need to do to get media exposure as they move into SummerSlam.
Yeah, for sure. They already started off with a good week here, and we've got a few more weeks before SummerSlam, and it's second biggest show of the year, so expect some good stuff going into it.
Thank you once again, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate everybody that followed us all the way along from the DWI days when it was just myself and DPP and the Mic Man, to me and DP, and to me, DP and CP, known as Alphabet Soup, to one Tommy Rich. And, of course, Chairshot Radio now on thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And do yourself a favor, folks. Go make yourself more aesthetically pleasing. Visit ProWrestlingTees/TheChairShot. Get yourself a t-shirt. $20. Ain't that much. It's peanuts, in fact. Well, all right. For DPP, for Christopher Platt, and everybody over at TheChairShot.com, my name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner. And I like to say intercontinental a lot. So, you know, I don't know. I just thought I'd get it in there before we got out. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
And you've been listening to another edition of Chair Shot Radio.
We got no outs anymore.
Where's Platt? I'm lost. I have to relearn all this shit again.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
Takes us home.
Like a bad pitcher.
I hear the Kardashians are in the news again. Those Kardashians are a wacky bunch. Tristan Thompson said something.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Someone should tell the Kardashians.
It's about time somebody breaks it to the Bellas.
The Kardashians.
Talent is not sexually transmitted.
Just so the Kardashians know. Yeah, they're gonna hate. Yeah, I'm gonna get buried by the Kardashian Illuminati.
Yeah. Hey, I don't. Yeah, nobody makes it out of there. I think we need to play this. I think we need to play this as a walkout.
You might recognize this song as performed by Jefferson Airplane in a little documentary called Give Me Shelter about the Rolling Stones and their nightmare at Altamont. That night, the Oakland chapter of the Hell's Angels had their way. Tonight,
it's my turn.
It's my turn.
One, two, three!
When the truth is found to be lying, and all the joy within you dying, don't you want somebody?
Don't you want somebody love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to love. Get
out. Yikes. There you go.
Tears are running, running down your bed. And your friend, baby. Somebody to love. I would really like somebody to love, but it's hard to find somebody to love. Your eyes, I say, your eyes, they look like keys. Yeah, but in your head, baby, I'm afraid you don't know where it is. Don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to love.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.